out, people of the world. You are now listening to the Condo on the Moon, located in the danger zone that is north of hell and south of Mars. And as we do each and every single week, we have two gentlemen along for the ride, and one of those gentlemen is Chris Walder. So, Chris Walder, I have called you a gentleman, so I expect you to behave in that manner. Can you do that?
Well, I'm more of a scholar than a gentleman, but I'll take that. It's all good.
A scholar? Really, Walder?
Yeah, I kind of want a more. I want to sound more sophisticated.
Wow. So, when we do the super duper three-way for the video podcast, which is happening next week, you will have glasses and a pipe or something? Is that what you're telling me?
I'll even have a cane and a top hat.
Wonderful. I look forward to all of that. We did not have Hanging on the Moon this week. We were having some technical issues, and then we've been doing a podcast to fill in, but I was just wiped. So Josh Lopez is not in trouble with me. There is no beef. We'll squash the Twitter rumors.
And are there Twitter rumors?
No, not really, but, you know, like, everyone wants to have dirt on something, so no dirt to be told there. I have no beef with Walder either, although it sounds like it when we do this podcast every week.
It really does.
It does. It sounds like we're really at odds, but, you know, it's going to get busy for you, sir, because basketball season is almost back. The Raptors, they will be getting going, Monday? Media day is Monday.
Yeah, I think it's Monday or Tuesday. It's right around the corner, man. I'm excited.
You're excited. I am excited the fact I don't have to cover basketball this year.
Well, good for you, man, but I'm looking for any sort of wrestling alternative at this point, especially with how bad the television's been as of late.
Yeah, wrestling has been pretty awful. I mean, if I was ever going to be tempted to jump back to basketball, boy, oh boy, Raw the last month or so has really done its best to tempt me into saying, hey, you know what, maybe this wrestling thing. But I'm here. I'm staying. I'm committed. I'm not going anywhere. You know, it is what it is. Normally we don't get into much, like, life talk, but I feel the need to vent for a minute. Chris Walder, would you like to be a part of my little vent?
As long as it's not directed at me, of course.
It is not. You see, as part of the video show, one of the reasons we put it on hiatus for a little bit is I was in sore need of a camera upgrade. So today, I went out and purchased myself a lovely little HD camera at Future Shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Future Shop, they have some little shady tactics they run at Future Shop, and I was aware of them. So, you know, this didn't surprise me. But nonetheless, I am out there, I'm going to purchase my webcam, and I see two webcams within $10 in price. So I'm like, you know what, for the people, maybe I should invest the extra $10 and get this nicer version of a webcam. So I get to the checkout. I'm excited and proud of myself for spending the extra $10, only to learn I actually spent 70 extra dollars. And I said, whoa, wait a second. To which Future Shop explained to me, oh no, that price you saw, that's for a different model. They do the old okey-doke. They give you like a fake price with a different model, and they think, yeah, they'll just pay it. I did not. I went back to my cheaper model. Future Shop, doing dastardly things.
That's a little shady on their part, but was it just because the product was in the wrong place, or what?
Oh no, I would say that normally. I would give Future Shop the benefit of the doubt, but I also bought my laptop, the current one I have now, from Future Shop and experienced the same exact tactic when I bought my laptop. So this is not a mistake. Once is an accident, twice is a trend.
Well, stay away from that location anyways.
I'm just saying, I think it's a Future Shop ploy. I don't think this is just the same location. I think this is Future Shop. That's how they do business.
Swindled again.
Yeah, you know, so there you go. We don't get in. Maybe we should get into our lives more. I know they do on some podcasts. We should let our listeners know more what's going on with us, Walder. How would you feel about that?
I'm all for it. I'm just not the most interesting guy on the planet.
All right, then. Well, that's it. We'll get to talking to wrestling right away, because that was all I had, my Future Shop story. So there you go. But maybe in the future we will let you in on the wonderful lives that we lead. But yeah, I'm same as you. I don't have a lot of interesting stuff going on.
We're very boring people, James.
Yeah, on a week-to-week basis, there's not much going on other than I do a lot of work and cover wrestling and do some other things. So that's about it. So the week that was in professional wrestling, I guess the big news is NXT had a debut last night in their tapings, and we have a new name for Prince Devitt. They did not go with my name of Duke Devitt, which I'm devastated by. I mean, that was some quality stuff. I don't know why, but apparently we went a different direction with Finn Balor. How do you feel about Finn Balor?
Well, he actually took to Twitter earlier today or last night, and he explained the origins of it. Apparently, it's a combination of two Irish mythological beings, one being Finn McCool, who I believe was a god. He kind of looks like Zeus. He has like a big staff or a trident in his hand. And then there's Balor, which is kind of like a cyclops. It's like this one-eyed, like, super ginormous, monster, mythological, whatever. So it's not like he just picked, like, two of the most random names ever and combined it, you know? He obviously had a say in what his name was going to be. It has some sort of meaning to him, so I'm all for it. And then I even watched the debut on YouTube last night, and fans were chanting Finn, so hopefully it catches on.
And in defense, Triple H in his conference call for the NXT event that just took place, the big one, he had said exactly this. All three guys, Kevin Steen, Prince Devitt, and Kenta, were all going to have full input into what their name was going to be for the WWE, and that appears to be the case.
Yeah, which is a good thing, too. And they didn't shy away from, you know, hiding the fact that all three guys had some sort of a history on the independent scene or overseas, because last night, the debut in question, I mean, we're going to spoil it, it's not going to happen until November 6th anyway, because it was the tapings, but, you know, Kenta, Hideo Itami, whatever you want to call him, he said he had a mystery partner for a match against the Ascension, or the Ascension called him out, one of the two, and then on the big screen, the name Prince Devitt comes up, kind of like when Kenta was introduced and it said Kenta, and then the words just kind of flashed, and then it just changed to Hideo Itami. So Prince Devitt shows up on the screen, and then it just starts flickering or whatever, and then it becomes Finn Balor, and then the A in Balor had an accent, so maybe it's not pronounced Balor, maybe it's Baylor, or I don't know. But they know these guys have a following with them, and that's good. They're not pretending that we're stupid, of course.
Yeah, we got to get the guys from OSW Review on that, because they're Irish, they would know.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing good stuff. They actually just put out a thing on Night of Champions. They don't normally do current stuff, but go check out OSW Review. I love those guys. Those Irish guys, they crack me up. But anyway, another good news on the Irish front from those tapings, another spoiler. We have mentioned ad nauseum how terrible the Becky Lynch character was. Thank God, apparently she turns heel.
I didn't think she was that bad. You did.
Oh, I thought it was terrible.
Because she was like an Irish stereotype?
She was worse than an Irish stereotype. She was worse than Sheamus, which is the Irish stereotype.
Yeah, yeah, but now she's what? Aligned with Sasha Banks, right?
Yeah! So she's not going to be a traditional Irish girl with Sasha Banks, I wouldn't figure.
And now they're pushing Charlotte as a full-fledged face, which is good.
We'll see if it's good. That remains to be seen with me. But anyway, lots of goings on with NXT. The other note, of course, no Kevin Steen yet. We have not seen Kevin or what his new name will be, which is a big, big topic with wrestling fans, apparently.
Well, and then if he has his own say in what his name's going to be, I don't think it's going to be that terrible. He won't be combining two gods like Prince Devitt did, but it won't be awful.
Captain Panda.
Captain Panda.
Yeah, why not?
Watch him take, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he took some sort of combination from guys he's worked with in, like, PWG or ROH or something. That might be interesting.
Anyway, here's my take on this whole name thing. Let's put it this way. And I'm going to use a very adult sort of way of explaining this, so I apologize. This isn't exactly PG, and women might not like this either. But that's it. Here we go. If you know a stripper, and let's say the stripper works at two different clubs, but she has two different names because she doesn't want to use the same name at the one club that she uses at the other. Is she still not a hot girl or not a hot girl based on who she is, or does the name matter?
It's a good point you're making. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
We're talking wrestling, not the strippers.
Well, no, I'm not going to guy strip joints, Walter. Let's make that clear. But, yeah. But that was kind of the analogy I came up with, because I know, you know, it might be maybe not the most PG way of putting it, but I've known people in that business, and they do tend to have different names at different places, and it doesn't affect, like, how they're drawing, so to speak, in terms of their income, you know? So your chastity at one place and your trinity at another.
And we all had our doubts, too, about, you know, with Daniel Bryan. When the Bryan Danielson thing, people thought it was so stupid because they basically reversed his names. But then now he became the biggest star in the company at one point. So who cares about whatever these guys want to call themselves? It's still Prince Devitt. It's still Kenta. It's still Kevin Steen.
And coming soon, Cole Adams to the WWE.
Cole Adams.
A.K.A. Adam Cole. It looks like our boy Adam Cole has some legitimate interest from the WWE, which is not surprising to me, and something we've talked about pretty openly on this podcast, that Adam Cole could perhaps be in the mix for WWE as well as the Young Bucks. So not a surprise that they're interested in Adam Cole. For people that aren't aware, we've mentioned it before as well, Adam's contract with ROH is set to run out sometime the end of this year, and I think he might have something lined up with New Japan for the start of January, but after that, I think it would be open season for Adam Cole to make the jump to the WWE. And then, I mean, if there's a guy that is more deserving out there on the indies, I'm not sure who it is.
Yeah, I mean, and it should inspire confidence in him watching some of his peers head over to NXT, and they're not being mismanaged at all. I mean, you would think that some of these guys who make a name for themselves outside of WWE, that would be held against them. But no, I think the company's kind of embracing that there are other guys other than, you know, WWE superstars, quote-unquote. So if Adam Cole does decide to make the jump, it's now would be the perfect time anyways.
Well, I agree with that to a point. I think once they get to the main roster, we've seen some issues. But in NXT, they're treated like gold.
Right.
Like, we
start somewhere, though.
Yeah, no, but I think it gets to a larger question that we'll talk about maybe later of, you know, this whole Triple H versus Vince thing that seems to be growing legs and even expanding in how deep this divide goes in this company. We'll get to it a little later, but Triple H has certainly done a miraculous job with NXT, and I know prior to the event, too, some big news for video game fans. The video game is going to be late, but NXT guys are going to be part of this video game. Adrian Neville's going to be in there, Sami Zayn, Bo Dallas was announced, I believe, and probably a couple others, because in that My Career mode that's only going to be on the new systems, you're going to start off in NXT, and they're going to have some of the NXT guys in the game. So that's great news for them, and that's money for them, which is a great thing.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I mean, I've always wanted to see those dream matches. You know, what would happen if Sami Zayn took on Triple H, or what would it be like if Adrian Neville took on John Cena? Like, it's cool. Fans could use these guys and have whatever kind of matches they want. I think it's only going to be Dallas, Neville, and Zayn to start. They might include some DLC somewhere down the line. But you know what? Just having Zayn and Neville, who are basically the mainstays, the faces of NXT, I think that's good enough for now.
Yeah, I think it's a start. And I think what has been subtly done with NXT, and I think, again, this probably goes to Triple H's doing, we're seeing revenue streams being created for these guys as part of NXT. Guys are getting t-shirts now, they're getting merch, they're getting in the video game. This is extra income, and this is incentive for top indie guys to, you know, maybe have a stronger look at the WWE, because the basic NXT contract I don't know the exact numbers of any what anyone's making, but I have a feeling Kevin Steen, the top-end indie guys, if they stayed on the indies, they probably could make a little bit more money than their base NXT contract. But the opportunity to be part of the WWE is too great to pass up, and now you're also giving them a way to earn a bit of an extra income as part of the WWE before they make it to that main roster, which I think is a great thing.
I think the basic contract runs around $20,000 to $25,000, which is not a lot when you consider all of the other expenses you have to pay for. But yeah, you're right. On the independent scene, you're making way more money than that. But just the opportunities that are given to you, and you know, the chance that you could one day be on the main roster in WWE, which is like the end all be all in professional wrestling, I think you have to go for it.
And there's been rumors that, you know, these guys are getting more than what the base is. Like, guys like Kevin Steen and Kenta and Prince Devitt.
Right.
They've been... I've heard numbers that are bigger than the number you just threw out there. So, you know, it's a good thing. And, I'm all for it. Like, let these NXT guys have revenue streams. Let them try and earn money. Because at the end of the day, what's the biggest proof of if you can be on the main roster? Can you sell merchandise? Can you put people in seats? Can you do all these things? You're getting a bit of an indication of that on that lower level on NXT. I mean, if they come out with a Sami Zayn shirt and it sells big boffo numbers, considering, you know, not everyone knows what's going on in NXT. Certainly all the hardcores do, but beyond that, some people don't. If he's selling that kind of merch just on NXT, what would he do on the main roster with a proper push?
Yeah, especially if they make a guy like Steen into the next Bray Wyatt, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but, you know, Sammy or Adrian Neville or whoever it is, like the Divas too. I mean, I think Charlotte has her own merch now, and Sasha Banks doesn't yet, but they're getting there. That's my point. And, I mean, I think that's a step in the right direction.
And before we get away from this, the Adam Cole train, get it?
Well, actually, okay. One more thing before, I know where you're going with this because we talked before the show, but one more thing
right. To
close out NXT. The rumors are out there, the next special event is probably happening early December, somewhere around the 11th was the date I'd heard.
Yeah, which is, I think they always plan to have at least one more before the end of 2014, and that's probably when they'll debut Kevin Steen, I would think.
Yeah, heading up to that, definitely the next tapings, I think Kevin may emerge, or at least the presence of Kevin Steen may emerge at some point within the next tapings. We will see, and we wait to see how things will go. Kevin certainly has the right attitude about it, because I saw Kevin on Twitter preaching patience to the masses when he did not show up on the last NXT special.
Well, it's because, you know, you can't have all of these debuts, like, kind of intertwining with each other, unless, of course, you were going to have them become a faction at some point. But you need to give Hideo Itami his spotlight, you need to give Finn Balor his spotlight, and then you don't want to have it, like, you know, cause any problems with what Steen's going to do. But, yeah, the next NXT special, I would think, would be a good time for him to debut.
And lastly, before we go on to what Walder was going to transition into, Kevin Steen looks really good.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, like Brian Fritz, I know, was at the tapings last night, and he was at the event for the video game, and he snapped a picture of Kevin, and I think it was Hideo Itami, a.k.a. Kenta, and Prince Devitt, and boy, Kevin Steen looks like he's dropped some LBs. He's looking in great shape, and great for Kevin, because that was the one knock against Kevin. I mean, everyone said, this guy's a world-class talent. He has everything you could want. The only thing that was holding him back, apparently, was his look and his weight. Well, that's being solved.
And that's the same thing that kind of happened with Bray Wyatt. You know, he had a little bit of a weight problem. I think that's just another plus of the developmental center and the training facilities they have there. They get these guys into shape. They get them into WWE wrestling mode. And, you know, like Steen mentioned on Twitter, fans need to kind of just slow their roll a bit, and all good things come to those who wait.
Indeed, and one person who is definitely not having problems with staying in shape or looking good is one Adam Cole. The Panama City Playboy is pretty happy today, I would imagine, with some news that came out. So, Walder, why is Adam Cole happy? It's not that he's dating Ronda Rousey, which would be number one on his list, I know, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah, he cracked the PWI Top 500 list, which is kind of like one of these big things in wrestling each year, ranks the top 500 guys in the industry, and yeah, Adam Cole cracks the top 10. Good for him.
Yeah, so you want? I have not been around. Obviously, we talked about my adventures at Future Shop, so I have not been made aware of this list. So you want to hit me with the top 10, and I will just give you my instant reaction, unfiltered, right here, live, to tape on the podcast.
Well, just to give you the specifics of the list, this list was created between July 1st of last year and then July 31st of 2014. So, and then it says the rules state that wrestlers must have competed in a minimum of 20 matches or at least one match in seven separate months in the specified time frame. So that just gives you the criteria.
So what you're telling me is CM Punk can be on this list.
Technically, CM Punk could be, but he's not in the top 10.
Boo! I already don't like it.
You thought Punk would legitimately crack the top 10?
He should be. I mean, if he's in there, if he matters and counts, then yeah, he's one of the 10 best wrestlers in the world.
Well, we'll see how he ranks when I see the full list. But for now, I have the top 10 in front of me, and we'll start from the top, I guess. At number 10, a TNA superstar, Bully Ray.
I guess. I mean, with all the problems TNA has had this year, it doesn't make sense. And with the criteria you laid out, the fact that he's kind of in limbo with the company doesn't really matter or apply. But if you're going to put someone from TNA on this list, I guess so. 10 seems high to me, but maybe not. But there's no question he's the top heel in that company. Or the top babyface, depending on how they're booking him. He was both during the calendar year that you're talking. So, I guess so.
Well, spoiler alert, he's not the only TNA superstar in the top 10. So, get your puke buckets ready, folks.
Oh, wait a second. Okay. Well, there's only one other TNA guy I would even consider in that. So, I hope it's him. But if it's not, I'm going to raise an eyebrow.
Probably not. But, yeah, right under Bully Ray is our boy, Adam Cole.
Okay, 9's all right. Is he the top ROH guy?
Unless you count somebody else who makes the list, but we'll get to him in a second.
Okay, but currently in ROH, is he the top guy?
Yes, he is the top guy.
Okay, cool. I'm perfectly fine with that.
And at number 8 is the top TNA guy. Who did you think it was?
I was going to say Ethan Carter III has had an amazing year and been a really breakout talent. 8 seems awfully high for him, but that said, I wouldn't be opposed to him being in a top of a list somewhere. More top 25 to me, but not top 10.
Well, it's not EC3.
Okay, who is it?
It's Magnus.
Really?
It's Magnus.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, he was the TNA champion. They did give him the ball for a time there and run with him, but I was never all that impressed with him, to be honest. I think TNA hyped him up like he belongs on this list where he is placed, but I don't think he's better than Bully Ray. I don't even think he's better than EC3. I mean, okay, whatever.
All right. Well, at number 7, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. member, and the only S.H.I.E.L.D. member in the top 10. Who do you think it is?
Okay, well, because this is a really smarky thing, it's probably either Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins. I'm going to go Dean Ambrose, though.
Surprisingly enough, it's Roman Reigns.
Wow! That is surprising, because normally this is a really smarky type list, and the Smarks do not like one Roman Reigns, but okay. I mean, I personally speaking, I wouldn't have a problem with Roman being high on this list, because I think, you know, for all the gripings that people make about him, I don't think it's warranted in a lot of ways, and I'm okay with him being listed as a top guy. There's an article, I don't know if it's out yet. I know I've already written it, but I don't know if they put it out. But on Between the Ropes, I kind of defend the whole idea of Roman Reigns still, you know, everything's going to be fine. He's still going to be a top guy. It's not like Dean Ambrose, even though some people want to see it happen, it's not like Dean Ambrose is going to steal everything that Roman Reigns had, you know, in front of him. I don't think that's going to be the case.
At number six, a man who's been on kind of a losing streak as of late and wasn't even on television or the Night of Champions pay-per-view, it's Bray Wyatt.
Well, yeah, but based, again, on the criteria that you listed at the front, guy was with Cena in, or John Cena, WrestleMania. I mean, that's a pretty big spot. I don't have a problem with Bray being a part of this list. I wonder what's going on with Bray Wyatt, though. I really do, because the WWE seems to have really lost a lot of faith in him or has no idea what to do with him. Part of me says it's they have no idea what to do with him because they're still putting him out there doing media and stuff like that, which was something brand new. And I know, you know, he was on that talk show with that middle-aged woman. That was hilarious.
I think maybe they're just kind of trying to keep him out of the spotlight for a bit. I mean, he's really been overworked. I wrote a piece for WrestlingRumors.net called The Disappearance of Bray Wyatt, and it basically summarized how they've been using him since the Jericho feud and how they were using him months prior to that. And I wrote that he's been on every pay-per-view, but with the exception of Night of Champions, of course, since Hell in a Cell in 2013. So maybe he's overworked. Maybe they're not trying to expose him too much, and maybe there'll be some sort of grand return, but right now it's very confusing stuff.
Can we take a little sidebar, though, before we go on with the list? Chris Jericho, his run is now done. I wrote about this in the Condo on the Moon this week. I think this was one of the worst Jericho runs of all time. I'm almost to the point, I don't even need to see Chris Jericho anymore. Do you feel the same way, or am I being overly critical of what we saw of Chris Jericho?
Well, it depends how they use him, and I listened to his latest Talk is Jericho podcast, and he actually said that this run was one of the most, it's the most fun he's had in a long time. He hated the run he had when he came back after the Royal Rumble. He liked the Royal Rumble debut, of course, but then when he had to do the whole Fandango program, that really drained him. But yeah, coming back, he said he wouldn't have come back unless he worked with Bray Wyatt. That was like his number one thing to Vince. And he was actually originally slated to go up against Seth Rollins at Night of Champions, and then they switched that to Randy Orton, which was another Vince McMahon decision. But he said he had a lot of fun wrestling Orton, one of his favorite guys to compete with in the ring. And then he had a lot of good things to say about Wyatt and the steel cage match they had on Raw. And he even said that if it wasn't for the Fozzy tour, he would have wrestled another 3 months. That's how much fun he was having.
Well, I'm glad Chris Jericho is having fun. I mean, the Lord knows. I hope Randy Orton's having fun and John Cena's having fun and everyone's having a good old time. But the bottom line, the reason he came back and the reason why he was in that program with Bray Wyatt was to get Bray Wyatt over. That didn't happen. Now, is that all Chris Jericho's fault? No. But the mission of why he came back was a failure.
Yeah, it didn't go according to plan. I think it fizzled out, and it didn't have, like, kind of that backing and that pizzazz that a lot of people thought it was going to. And now we don't even see Wyatt on television, so it's hard to say that the Jericho feud was really a positive for Wyatt, but that remains to be seen. We'll kind of give it time, I suppose.
Yeah, and when you go back to the feud that he says he didn't like with Fandango, I argue he did a wonderful job in that. Fandango, when Chris Jericho left, was one of the most over guys in the WWE. They screwed it up since then, but that isn't Chris Jericho's fault.
But was that because of Jericho, or was that because of the fans on that Monday Night Raw that started the whole raising the arms, fandangoing thing?
I think it was both. I mean, I think Chris Jericho made this guy look like $1 million. I mean, he really did. Like, Johnny Curtis is a decent wrestler, and he can do some stuff in the ring. And the gimmick is what it is, but I kind of like it when it's used correctly. But I think Chris Jericho did a miraculous job at putting this guy over. And you tell me the top WWE old-time star that is going to agree to do a match with a rookie at WrestleMania and job out to him. I don't know who that guy is.
You know, Jericho does what his boss tells him to do, and that's a very refreshing thing because, like, a lot of these old-school guys who come in and do these rare appearances probably wouldn't put over a guy like Fandango or someone younger or in that age range. So, You know, I guess you give credit to Jericho?
Yeah.
For being that kind of guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's not too many guys that would do that. And in all honesty, we don't give John Cena a lot of credit on this program, and there's lots of reasons for that. But the way he got his ass beaten the first time against Brock Lesnar, there's not a lot of guys who would have done that either.
Exactly.
Okay, on with our list. Maybe John Cena is next. Maybe that was a great segue.
John Cena is not next, but we may be seeing him soon. Just a little hint.
Oh, so it won't be you can't see me in the top 10.
Well, he's in the top 5. I can tell you that. John Cena's in the top 5.
Wow, okay.
So where is he? Who knows?
Well, we're going to know if you'd get on with this list.
All right, fine. Well, number 5 is a New Japan star, the only New Japan. Well, I guess you can make the case for somebody else. But he was actually competed at the ROH New Japan event. What was it called? Best in the World, or what was it?
War of the Worlds? There were two. There was War of the Worlds, and there was Global Wars.
All right. So, yeah, I think, what's his name? The Money Maker or whatever? Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah, the Rainmaker.
Rainmaker, yeah.
Yeah, Okada. Okay, that makes sense. I'm surprised it's not Tanahashi, but okay.
Yeah, you can flip a coin with one of those guys, whoever's the biggest star in New Japan. Yeah, but I'm okay with Okada. I've seen some of his stuff.
Yeah.
And number 4, the current IWGP World Champion, AJ Styles.
Yeah, how about that, TNA? Number 4. How about that? Better than your friggin' Bully Ray and your Magnus, isn't it?
He goes away and then he becomes a huge star overseas and trumps everyone in TNA on the list.
Yeah, what can you say? And we talked about the money people are making on the indies. AJ Styles. I mean, if we believe him, he says, and this is a quote from him when he was interviewed by Meltzer, he is actually making more money this year on his own than he did the year previous with TNA.
Oh, because in TNA they make you pay for your travel expenses, right?
I don't know. I'm not familiar.
I believe that's the case. And so, on the independent scene, I'm sure all of these promoters are willing to pay for hotels and whatnot for AJ.
You want the Young Bucks. You're paying for first-class accommodations, baby.
Such a Young Bucks fan.
Hey, they are the best in the world.
Well, here's our best friend, number 3. John, according to you, Cena.
Cena, that guy who's been around for 12 years. Purists that look at wrestling just for the in-ring action, I mean, will scoff at this and cry foul and come up with 100 names that should be ahead of him. That said, he's the face of the biggest company in wrestling. It's hard to debate that he doesn't belong in the top 10 of a list like this. Number 3, probably high. Probably really high. But, you know, it is what it is.
Well, he may be the face of WWE, but there are 2 WWE guys ahead of him on the list.
Deservedly so, whoever these gentlemen are.
Well, I haven't said the names yet. You might be changing your...
Doesn't matter.
Well, at number 2... the first ever WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the Viper, Randy Orton.
Oh, wow, Randall Orton. That's tricky, because I think Randy's a great in-ring performer. I don't think he gets nearly enough credit. I think a lot of people view him as stale. But that said, he is your classic heel in 2014, which isn't easy to do, but he somehow manages to pull that off. But this was not a good year for Randall Orton, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, look at his title run. Look how terrible that was done. And I mean, the blame can go all the way around for that, I guess. But, you know, at some point, some of it has to fall on him. And I thought he just did a terrible job in that role as the undisputed WWE champion. And was literally a transitional champion until Daniel Bryan could get his hands on that belt.
And speak of the devil, the number 1 superstar on PWI's top 500 list is the man with the broken neck and the former WWE World Heavyweight Champion, the leader of the Yes Movement, Daniel Bryan.
Yes! 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 there's no question. Like, I mean, it was a crazy year for Daniel Bryan in many ways, but through it all, Daniel Bryan was a phenomenal performer and just was a... I mean, it seems weird to say this because I think he already was a star, but in some senses, I think he was a breakout star in the sense of he really broke through into that penthouse level of competitors in the WWE, where at the start of where this list would be compiled from, I don't think you could say he was that.
It's well-deserved, and man, we were close to not even getting this whole Daniel Bryan push. So the fact that he's number one on the list, you know, he main evented and won two matches at WrestleMania. I mean, I couldn't think of anyone else who deserves the spot more than he does.
Okay, so I got a couple questions with the list.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Brock Lesnar who's currently the WWE champion. Where did he fall on said list?
Well, I've only seen the top ten so far. I haven't been able to look at at everything else.
Oh, okay.
Because I think you have to subscribe to the site to really get
Because I would wonder where Brock fell, and I would also wonder where Punk fell, because Punk had a very interesting year, to say the least, which he was around for half of it.
Exactly. But I can't, unfortunately, come up with the rest of the list. But as soon as I do, maybe I'll bring it on the show next week.
Yeah, next week, if you can track down that information. I want to know where Brock Lesnar fell. I want to know where CM Punk fell. And who's another guy? Is there another?
Maybe I'll find it. I'm scrolling the internet right now, actually. Maybe it'll kind of show up.
Okay, well, you keep scrolling, but we're going to keep talking. And if not, for the big super duper video show, that is your homework.
Perfect.
All right. And that's Thursday, by the way, people. It'll be myself, Walder, and Josh Lopez for the first time ever on video on Google Hangout. So tune in, and Walder will be back on this show next Wednesday or next Friday too, doing double duty next week. We appreciate it, Walder.
Yes, sir.
All right. So moving on, the week that was for the WWE, Raw again was just, I don't even know what to say at this point with this program. It's becoming a real concern, I think. The fact this show seems to just drag on and on each week. For the first 5 minutes of Raw, I was thoroughly entertained. Dean Ambrose was back. I'm not dead. And then, ba-ba-da-ba! And everything went to hell.
Yeah, can you really blame them, though? Only because, like, with all of these guys getting hurt, I mean, you kind of have to put more emphasis on Cena, even more so now. Even though you have Dean Ambrose coming back, and it looks like those two are kind of going to intertwine, basically, because of the Seth Rollins thing. But, you know, as soon as Cena's music hit, it just sends a chill down my spine.
But, you see, that's the thing. Does it really have to always go back to Cena or Cena? That's the WWE answer to everything. Like, I got news for you. The WWE's answer, John Cena, has not really been that answer when all is said and done. I think now more than ever is the time to just roll the dice with a guy like Dean Ambrose. Roll the dice with a guy like Seth Rollins. Have them main event Hell in the Cell. Why the heck not? Does this feud not deserve a Hell in the Cell match and a main event? I think it's the best feud of the year.
But have you been hearing some of these plans that they might do for Hell in a Cell? We might not even get Rollins and Ambrose in the cage.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's ridiculous. I don't understand this. Like, and another thing, we should lay this out for people. Basically, I think you've heard the same thing I've heard, and if you haven't, chime in. But basically, we're going to get a match between Dean Ambrose and John Cena, whatever. We're going to get a match between those two, and the winner gets Seth Rollins in a Hell in a Cell, and the loser gets Randy Orton. My first thing is, how do you feel if you're Randall Orton as the guy that gets the loser?
That doesn't sell Orton very high.
No, and what was he on that list? He was, what, number two, did you say?
Number two, yeah.
The number two wrestler in all of the world, according to Pro Wrestling Insider, is it called, or Illustrated? Yeah, he's what the loser gets, Yeah, that's great.
That's pretty bad. So I'm not all for this plan. And it's hard to sell a pay-per-view on, well, do fans really want to put their money down to say, well, are Cena or Ambrose going to get their hands on Rollins? Because now it looks like we're not going to get Lesnar at all.
Yeah, and this is a case of, like, this scenario would be fine if the following happened. Let's say Seth Rollins actually did cash in, and he did get the title off of Brock Lesnar. Now, I'm totally cool with this setup, because you have Ambrose and John Cena. They fight. The winner gets the world title match. The loser goes into a number one contender match with Randall Orton. Okay, fine. Cool. But that's not what's happening here.
It's just a train wreck right now. And you know what? I'm going to be the first to admit this. When I had Monday Night Raw on last week, I didn't even watch a majority of it. For the first time ever. You know what? No matter how bad Raw gets, I always stick with it just because I'm that kind of a wrestling fan. I'll endure. I sit there. I have my beer in my hand. I have my Twitter on. It's all good. But this time, I don't know why. I think the ending to Night of Champions didn't really sell me high on the show. And then when we got the Ambrose stuff, and I was like, well, they're not going to bring him on until the main event. It was like, what's the point of me really sitting here and having to watch all this stuff?
Let's put it this way. Review a Raw, which features John Pollock and Wei Ting from The Law. Wei Ting always comes up with some great lines that I always find humorous, because whenever Wei says something, it has this honesty attached to it. And he compared watching this Raw to being confined to jail.
You think that's a pretty good comparison, actually.
It is, isn't it? And when Wei says something like that, it truly comes off as genuine. If you don't know who Wei Ting is from The Law, he's just the straightest shooting guy I have ever known. And, you know, he's a wrestling fan, but he's not immersed in the wrestling to the point that, you know, if something's good or bad, Wei won't watch it if it's bad. He just won't. He won't bother.
So he just avoided it, or what?
No, he did, because they're doing review of Raw. But what I'm talking about is like, because they do review of Raw, he always watches Raw. But, like, if there's a pay-per-view coming up, Wei doesn't necessarily watch the pay-per-view. If he thinks the build's been lousy, he probably will find something else to do.
Well, that's a good strategy, anyway.
If we were all like that, where would the WWE be? I mean, if we all, like, the hardcore fans got that kind of attitude as a group, where would the WWE be? I mean, they'd actually have to do work.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah, and we all know that, you know, they're putting in hard work. Stephanie McMahon, she's been doing... Have you seen these couple of business interviews that Stephanie McMahon has done?
I have not, no.
Oh, well, Stephanie would like to point out that, you know, to be successful in business, Walter, all you have to do is just not accept the answer no. That's it.
Really?
Pretty simple. I mean, gosh, gee, doesn't sound like she comes from a rich family at all, does it?
The McMahon's rich? Get out of here.
No. And then she did another one this week, and it was a little different. It was something about her kids motivate her and stuff like that, which is fine. And I love Stephanie, but sometimes Stephanie, when she tries to be all businesswoman, it comes off really bad.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that.
That said, though, Stephanie did favorite a tweet of mine because I pointed out, good for her, her ring gear from SummerSlam. It's part of the auction they're doing for that child who was... the big Daniel Bryan fan. They're doing Connor. What's his? Do you know his last name? I don't.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
It's
either.
Okay.
But it's a little dude with the Daniel Bryan stuff, right?
Yeah. Anyway, point is, they're doing a big auction for the affliction that he had, and Stephanie's ring gear. Well, let's have some fun with this. Do you know the answer? Because I do.
I do not know.
Okay, so Stephanie's ring gear at SummerSlam. You are aware of that, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, how much do you think that was running for on eBay this past Friday?
A couple grand.
You're close. $2,600.
Oh, wow.
For Stephanie's ring gear. I believe it was the highest priced item so far on this auction. So, there you go.
That didn't come cheap. Damn.
No, and I imagine by the time it's all over, it'll be well up there. I'm thinking We could even get to $5,000 for that.
You think so?
I think so.
Who pays for this stuff? What are you going to do, wear it?
Total marks.
Yeah, it's the full-on marks.
Well, total marks, or whenever it's a female, it can sometimes be some weirdo marks, too.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about what they're going to be doing with that stuff.
Yeah, we don't want to go there. We'll really lose our PG rating if we go there.
Hey, we talked about strippers already, so...
Well, yeah, but we didn't really get into great detail about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyway, that should be the new gimmick for WWE Diva.
Yeah,
Like, they had Val Venus back in the day. We could have, like, someone, you know, she was a stripper, and now she's a wrestler.
Oh. What are we doing?
Which they've had that gimmick a few times. They just haven't like publicized it to the extent of you know, it was somewhat obvious.
Yeah, that's true.
Hell of a segue, but let's talk about the disaster that is the Divas division right now.
In what sense do you mean it's a disaster? Because I might not be as negative as you are.
You don't think it's a disaster?
I don't think so.
Okay, so...
I think it's getting... Unless you're talking specifically about Nikki and Brie.
Well, we can talk about Nikki and her match on Raw with AJ, where she did a basically what we're calling the Nicki Minaj submission hold.
Butt-to-butt.
Yeah, what did you think of that? Were you a fan?
I just paused on that moment and gazed at its glory. I'm all for moves like that, James. You know, I mean, Nikki Bella needs something unique, and lo and behold, it's her rubbing her butt on another diva, so it's all good.
So you think AJ should have been selling that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nikki, you know, she has some junk in the trunk, so it must have hurt a little bit.
Okay. I'm not with you. actually, yeah. How about this, PWI? I want to get the top 50 females in wrestling, and would a WWE diva even crack the top 15?
Oh, well, okay, now you're being just a little dramatic. Are you telling me the likes of Paige and AJ Lee and Charlotte, you're telling me they wouldn't crack the list?
They might, but I'm telling you that I could come up with more names in the top 10 that are not currently in the WWE than I could that are.
Well, fair enough, but I mean, if you had to make a list right now, you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who deserves the number one spot more than Paige.
No. I know exactly who I would give the number one spot
to. Go ahead and tell me.
Candice LeRae. That girl is phenomenal.
I'm a Candice LeRae fan. She's not higher than Paige, and that's only because, you'd have to put the WWE girl ahead of her.
She took a super kick with thumbtacks in the face.
So what?
That's insane.
I'm not downplaying the spot, but that because of that, she deserves to be number one?
No, because of the fact that she primarily works with men and holds her own, and it weighs about 90 pounds soaking wet, and doesn't come off that she doesn't belong in that setting going up against guys. And I mean, that's one thing to say when you're China. It's another thing to say when you're a 90 to 100-pound girl with blonde hair and looks fairly attractive. I think that's a whole different ballgame.
Look, she's in my top five. I'm sorry, she's not higher than Paige.
I don't know.
Maybe AJ will kick Paige in the face with something. You know?
With thumbtacks?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly
think we're getting that, Walter.
That's the direction we're going in now. Because you know what? Vince McMahon, there was a report that came out that said that Vince doesn't want anyone on Total Divas becoming the Divas champion, which is fine. But that means that gives more leeway to girls like AJ and Paige to do whatever the hell they want. So let's bring the thumbtack shoe into World Wrestling Entertainment and see how PG they can get with that.
I don't think that's happening, Walter. I don't think we're getting AJ and Paige in Hell in the Cell.
Or they'll stick some gummy bears to her shoe or whatever and see how violent they can get. They did something like that in PWG, right? They had, like, the hard candy and the Lego.
Yes, yes.
When I think it was, like, Drake Younger and Joey Ryan or whatever. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes.
Let's bring that on the main stage.
That was some classic stuff from PWG. But anyway, I don't know. The Divas division is hurting right now. Like, the girls on NXT are doing a much better job than the girls on the main roster. And I think that's been fairly obvious.
As long as you're a heel Becky Lynch, at least, you know?
Yeah, well, we got a heel Becky Lynch. That's helpful for her career. But all the girls in NXT, I like them all. Like, I mean, I think Alexa Bliss is going to be something good. We talked about a little blonde, you know, under 100 pounds when that girl hits the main roster. A lot of guys are going to be big, big fans of Alexa Bliss.
And then a new one just debuted at the last tapings. I think her name is Carmella.
I don't know. Oh, the one that was with, yeah, the one that was with. Are you talking about the one that was with Kaz and Enzo? That
yeah,
one?
Yeah. The Princess of Staten Island. I think that's her gimmick.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, that. I mean, everything they've done with the Divas in NXT, I think, has been great. And they don't call them Divas in NXT. It's the NXT Women's title.
Thank God for that. Something they need to bring back to the main roster. I'm sick of the Divas title. Bring back the Women's Championship.
You know what? I would like to see that. Like eventually, at some point, I would like to see... Like, Paige has this whole gimmick of being the anti-diva. I would like her, if she gets her hands back on that belt, I would like her to take the Divas title, throw it in the trash, and pull out the women's title.
Well, anti-diva sounds a lot better than anti-woman.
Yeah, well, right now we're going into other places where it's woman, which
yeah.
We haven't seen in the WWE in a long time. Speaking of that PG rating, I don't know, girls kissing each other's hands, and although they're not friends anymore, apparently now Emma and Paige are friends again, so I don't know what's going on.
You mean in real life, right?
Well, they are in real life, but there was this picture or something. They were teasing that they were going to a wedding chapel together.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, hey, Emma's not at the Walmart now.
Hey, yeah, look how far that ruined her, you know?
Yeah,
she should be a lot bigger than she really is.
Yeah, she's like she's really gotten the business from that whole deal, and she didn't deserve it. I mean, whatever you think of how she debuted, and I wasn't a big fan of it, and I'm not a big Emma fan. I haven't been on this show prior to that Walmart thing, but she certainly doesn't deserve what she's been given. But overall, I just think... The women's product on NXT is far more compelling than the women's product on the WWE. And I mean, is the Bellas a big part of that? Is Total Divas a big part of that? Yeah, absolutely, because it's becoming a distraction from the women's championship or the Divas title, and it's becoming just a mess because Total Divas is back on, and we're getting all these feuds that... in wrestling land happened 4 months ago, and now they're coming back again. Feuds that we've already seen. We're seeing, like, Cameron and Naomi. We're seeing Natty Neidhart and Summer Rae. Like, we're almost going back in time. It's totally screwed up.
Well, it's because every time there's a storyline on Total Divas, they always want to bring that over the next night, right? So they had, what was it, Natalya threw Summer Rae out of her car. They got in a little tiff, and then they have a match on Raw. That's how it works, James.
No, it really doesn't because they're both shows are not on the same timeline, and that's the problem.
Yeah, but not in our little world, you know. Whatever we see on Sunday, that's basically what they want us to believe is happening right now.
Well, that doesn't work, but anyway, it is what it is. I think we'll close this out with some talk of the bigger picture in WWE, and there's been lots of stories and lots of talk about this division between Triple H and what he wants for the creative direction of this company and Vince McMahon and what he wants with the creative direction of this company. But what I was reading this week, which I found much more interesting, is this divide goes even further. There is a divide within the suits in WWE where Triple H and Stephanie are on one side and George Berrios and I forget the woman's name, who's one of the suits on the other side. Those two sides are very much at odds, and I'm kind of in favor of supporting Triple H and Stephanie because Berrios and this woman whose name slips my mind, they were the ones that were supposed to be in charge of the network. They were the ones that were supposed to get them this TV deal. Both of those things didn't go too well.
Yeah, they're dropping the ball, you know, and you want to put more faith in a guy like Triple H just because he seems to be more in tune with what the fans want and making better business decisions for the company, especially like what we've been saying with our high praise for NXT. So it's a shame that more power isn't in his hands and in Stephanie's hands, but that's going to be the case as long as Vince McMahon is around and, you know, his close-knit subordinates.
But you see, that's the thing. I think fans, depending on how inside wrestling you get, a lot of fans, I think, they blame what's going on Triple H and Stephanie, and it doesn't seem like that from, like, looking from the inside out. It seems like Triple H and Stephanie seem to be on the right path. Not everything's great. I mean, I think Stephanie has a lot to do with some of the things we're seeing with the Divas that we haven't been all that thrilled with that we just talked about. But on the whole, I think they're more on the ball than the other side of the equation. And it's going to be interesting because I know from talking with some people, George Berrios is like huge. Like Vince thinks the world of this guy. He is the driving force behind all of the business aspects of that company. And I mean, if we get into a power play between him and Triple H and Stephanie, I mean, I don't like his chances, quite honestly, and maybe that's for the best, because if he truly is to blame for the problems with the network and the problems with the television deal, I mean, why is he still there?
It's because he obviously has some sort of dirt on somebody, you know what I mean? Maybe he has some skeletons in the closet, you know?
No, I'm being serious, though, like because he's clearly dropped the ball. Like, it's not a good thing. And, I mean, this is a company that's been firing people left and right. I mean, it's not like they've been opposed to getting rid of people. I mean, they've gotten rid of, like, long-time 20-year-plus employees from this company. They are in full cost-cutting mode. But Berrios, from what I understand from the whole business aspect of the WWE, he's a big player. But Triple H and Stephanie don't seem to be on board with him. And it's interesting, too, because it may never happen, but if we ever get to the day where it is a fully Triple H and Stephanie-run WWE, it's going to be a much different WWE. Whether it's good or bad remains to be seen. I think I lean to the fact it would be more positive. But another person who they have said, like, I don't know if they said it publicly, but it's widely known by all the wrestling insiders. The day Vince McMahon hangs it up, Kevin Dunn's fired.
Oh, agreed. 100%.
Yeah, but
fine with me.
No, but like Stephanie and Hunter both hate him.
Yeah. But he's gone. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I mean, like, this is a guy who's been kissing Vince McMahon's ass for the better part of two decades, and there's so much, like, Vince will not curtail when it comes to Kevin Dunn. Like, I know, I mean, these stories have been out there from former members of the creative team, but there was a lot of talk that when SmackDown first came around, that they tried really hard to get Kevin Dunn out for SmackDown. So SmackDown could have its own vision, its own look. Everything would be different about SmackDown. Which, oh, by the way, SmackDown isn't really doing all that great. It might not have been a bad idea. And this has happened a number of times throughout the history of SmackDown. When Paul Heyman was in charge, the same initiative was tried and failed. I mean, you know, Kevin Dunn, okay, fine. If you want to have Kevin Dunn still do Raw and pay-per-views, fine. But I don't see anything wrong with having a different vision and a different direction for, you know, making your shows look unique. I think one of the greatest positives about NXT that people like about it is it's different. NXT, as much as it tries to mimic the WWE and be the same for competitors, it is different in some ways, too.
I think that's what fans are kind of just craving these days, you know, some sort of originality, something that's unique. And it shows when you see some of the superstars on the main roster, you know, the Dean Ambroses and the Bray Wyatts of the world. Those are the guys that fans gravitate to just because it's something that they've never seen before. And I think one of the problems on Raw these days is that, you know, you can even look last week when they had like Night of Champions rematches, and they had a six-man tag team match from the week before. It's just they're not really trying to push the envelope anymore. And if Triple H and Stephanie McMahon get into power, I'm not saying it's going to be a better overall product because there's still going to be some growing pains, but at the same time, I think they're willing to try new things, and that's refreshing. Vince is just resting on his, you know, his morals and stuff that he's been using for the last couple of decades, and that doesn't work in 2014. He's out of touch.
His laurels, not his morals.
His laurels. Did I say morals?
Yeah, he...
Morals, too. It's the Canadian.
Vince's morals are... Well, that's a whole other podcast, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
we might have to get, like, some former WWE writers on for that one, because Vince's morals are somewhat interesting.
Not so good, yeah.
Yeah, they're interesting, to say the least. But I think, yeah, there is just this whole appetite and wanting of change, and it's just not happening, and that's the whole thing. I think when you go back and you look at someone like John Cena, he represents that whole idea of the status quo, and he's never going to get anywhere being that guy, and they won't turn him. Like, it's been well documented, they're not going to do it. And I'm sorry, I think that's just looking at things from a really, you know, scared point of view. I mean, I'm sure when WCW came up with the idea to turn Hulk Hogan, there was a lot of people that said, turn Hulk Hogan, are you crazy? Like you can't do that. But they did it, and guess what? They were able to merchandise it, they were able to make money off of it, and they had a good 2 to 3 year run out of it. I mean, if we get two or three more years of John Cena like this, what are we getting? We're getting the same old, same old. I don't think anyone's going to be invested in that.
Just to play devil's advocate here, I think one of the main reasons why they won't turn John Cena now, and they should have done this years ago when they had more talent in the face department anyway, who could carry the ball, so to speak. But right now it's like, okay, you turn John Cena heel, but who's going to be the face to go up against him, you know? Do you turn Randy Orton? Daniel Bryan's out for a while. CM Punk is gone. Roman Reigns is hurt. It's like, okay, I think, like you said, they're kind of scared of making the change because they don't want to neglect what they've already built, you know, with their PG audience and all of the little children who look up to Cena and whatnot. It's just they don't really have anyone who could fill his shoes at this point. And it's difficult because, you know, Hulk Hogan wasn't on top, you know, in WWF probably as long as Cena was. Stone Cold Steve Austin had like a 5-6 year run, but Cena's been on top for a little over a decade now. And people are sick of it. It's nothing against Cena personally, because I think people are starting to realize now that the five moves of doom stuff is just garbage, and he's actually a really good worker in the ring. His mic work has been significantly better. It's just that it's the same thing week in and week out. It's the same entrance music. It's the same coming on stage and holding the Never Give Up towels. He's out there with the colorful T-shirts. You know, we get the teases with, like, the Kane feud and then going up against The Rock and maybe even a little bit with Brock Lesnar, you know? Is he going to start bringing in that edge? Is he going to be a bad guy? And they're not doing it, but they'll rub it in your face saying, you know what, we know you want this, but you're not going to get it. Nah, 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 nah. That's how they do it.
First of all, hashtag let Kane retire. Secondly, yeah. The whole thing, though, too, and this happened again on Raw this week. A guy gets some steam, he gets some muscle behind him. We saw this with Daniel Bryan. We saw it with Roman Reigns. Now Dean Ambrose. Who comes and appears? It's John Cena to suck the living hell out of the pop and heat that is being directed to someone else, and that is not a good thing. How do you build new stars if John Cena is going to appear every single time and try and suck whatever it is they have and make it his own? It's not going to work. The one thing I will say, and I've enjoyed this, and they've done it consistently now with three different guys, Daniel Bryan did not kowtow to John Cena, or Cena, whichever you prefer. Also, Roman Reigns did not, and now Dean Ambrose did not. I liked how Dean Ambrose handled his time with John Cena. I thought I thought it was very well done. The fact that I don't like the fact that you're out here, and it's kind of pissing me off. I kind of like that coming from a character that is portrayed as the lunatic fringe. He shouldn't be friends with John.
Well, lest we forget, you know, when Cena and Ambrose were closing Monday Night Raw, it was Ambrose's entrance music that closed the show. And, you know, remember the six-man tag team match they did before Night of Champions? I think it was Reigns, Jericho, and Cena. And it was supposed to be about Cena proving that he could get the rematch with Lesnar and that he could defeat, you know, the Beast Incarnate. And it turned out that he gave the tag to Reigns and he allowed Reigns to get the glory. So, I mean, we're used to kind of Cena coming in and, you know, like you said, sucking up the steam and all that of the young up-and-comers. But I think he doesn't get enough credit as far as him helping make guys into future stars. But the only concern I have, and we talked about this earlier in the podcast about Hell in a Cell and the way that card is shaping up, if it turns out to be John Cena versus Dean Ambrose and the winner goes to face Rollins, I don't have a doubt in my mind that they're going to have Cena go over Ambrose, and they want Cena to close that pay-per-view. So is this really the time to say, you know what, Dean Ambrose, he's your guy, WWE Universe, but at the end of the day, John Cena is ours. We're going to have him main event Hell in a Cell just because there's no Lesnar, there's no Reigns, there's no Daniel Bryan. We don't have faith in a Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose match to close the pay-per-view just yet. So we're going to throw Cena in your face one more time, and we're also going to bury Ambrose in the process.
And what more proof do they need? Like, at Battleground, what was the reaction when they didn't get the Seth Rollins-Dean Ambrose match? People were furious. They were angry. They were upset. And, you know, when they get the special, like, Dean Ambrose return because of the Roman Reigns injury, which I think was going to happen anyway in that match, but the fact when Dean Ambrose came out and all hell broke loose, the crowd loved it. They loved these two guys together. I mean, it's a great feud, and it makes sense. But I think, getting back to the point we were talking about with John, it's almost like he's the bar to whether you're really over or not. Because he's going to come out there just like Hulk Hogan did back in the day, and he's going to become buddy-buddy with Randy Savage and with Ultimate Warrior and with whoever else, and how you end up being treated as a character and how you handle that personally will determine if you're actually going to be over. Because we've seen it not work with other people. We've seen Zack Ryder drop to the abyss of nowhere from being like hugely popular with fans. The Usos were, for a brief time, part of that whole John Cena friend club. They kind of bottomed out a little bit. Now they don't have the tag team titles. It seems to be the big test. If you can survive and interact. And Bray Wyatt. I mean, Bray Wyatt hasn't been on the pay-per-view. Was he even on Raw? He wasn't, right?
He wasn't on Raw, and he's not going to be on SmackDown tonight either.
Right. So, like, how is working with John helped him? Not so much, right?
Ditto Sandow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so that seems to be, for lack of a better term, this crazy test that the WWE does. Well, let's see how they do when John comes out there. John's a bigger star than this guy. And sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. And with Dean Ambrose, they're wrong.
The only guy that I've seen survive the trial by fire so far is Daniel Bryan. And obviously he went on to bigger and better things, you know, with the WrestleMania run and whatnot. But I'm curious to see what kind of reaction Dean Ambrose gets next week. Because I don't know if it was the crowd or, you know, the acoustics or whatever, but I wasn't really impressed with the reaction he got from the fans that night. It wasn't as loud as I thought it was going to be. I thought maybe they shouldn't have opened the show with Ambrose and kind of left him for later in the night. And then I think when Randy Orton said something about, like, there was going to be a surprise in the main event and they were teasing that there was something under the box, everyone kind of knew that it was going to be Dean under there, and that kind of tarnished that a bit. I just hope that they don't ruin this with Dean, just because right now he's clearly the number two face behind John Cena at this point. You know, with Reigns on the shelf, of course, it might be a little bit lower. But right now, they need a lot out of Dean, and I really hope they book him well heading into Hell in a Cell, because this could be make or to break it for him. Him and Rollins, they've had the best feud in WWE all year, and their lumberjack match at SummerSlam was exceptional. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you have to handle this properly in the sense that you want to get as many, you know, matches out of the two as possible. So that's why I don't really have much hope of them doing a cell match, because that's kind of like the end-all, be-all of a feud, and I think they want this to go a lot longer.
Well, you know, we'll see how it all works out. But one thing I did love from Dean Ambrose, his explanation on Miz TV for how he ended up getting out of that room, I thought was tremendous.
I didn't even catch that. What did he say about that?
The Miz asked him, like, well, how the heck did you get out of that room? Which is what everyone was asking on Monday Night Raw. He said, there was a back door.
Is that what he said?
So, yeah, simple as that. There was a back door.
That's what I said on Twitter when he first got locked in there. He's like, watch, there's like a back door, and that's all these security guards are such idiots that they're not even going to realize that.
Like,
wow, like, unbelievable.
Dean, I'll tell you something. He isn't this guy, okay? I'm going to preface this. He's not this guy, but he has the same kind of smarmy kind of attitude this guy has portrayed on WWE television. That's CM Punk.
Yeah,
I mean, he comes back. He has that perfect line. The first words out of his mouth when we see him again on TV, I'm not dead. Because they had that stupid angle where it looked like, basically, if you just watched WWE television, you would have thought that Dean Ambrose was dead.
Yeah, not legitimately, of course, but sure.
No, but like in storyline, he was basically dead.
Yeah.
There was no explanation given. Like, I even wrote an article about Dean, and I got told, well, you're making it seem like he's dead. And I said, well, in terms of kayfabe, he is.
He is dead, yeah.
You know, so, but it's the little one-liners like that, and CM Punk was so great at those. Like, he takes that little slice of reality that the really smart, snarky fans get and appreciate, and he fits it in with, like, one little line here, a little line there. Dean Ambrose fully gets that. And let's not forget, this was a guy who, when he was down in FCW, this was CM Punk's guy. CM Punk loved this guy. And to the point, like, when he was the champion, took one of his days off, went down specifically to work with Dean Ambrose in FCW in front of, I don't know how many people they drew in Florida, but it wasn't a heck of a lot of people, and, you know, local Florida television. And CM Punk went down and worked a match with this guy. That's how much CM Punk was a fan of Dean Ambrose, and I think so is Triple H. I mean, two guys who probably would not see eye to eye on much of anything agree that Dean Ambrose is a star.
He's kind of a cross between Brian Pillman and CM Punk, you know, the lunatic fringe a little bit, you know, off kilter, and then you have like the promo skills and the ability to interact with the fans in a very articulate way like CM Punk was able to. And Punk saw this from a mile away when he was down in FCW, and he knew right away that he was going to be a star. And he's proving that right now. And it was almost kind of like a recurring joke. There's this guy, Justin Labar of WrestleZone.com, that a lot of people know of, and on his show, Care Shot Reality, he would always mention, you know, when is Dean Ambrose going to debut? It was kind of like a thing that they would go through the entire year because he wasn't being seen on NXT or FCW or whatever it was at that time, and you almost felt like it was about to happen. He was going to show up on TV, and he was going to take WWE by storm. But you know what? It eventually happened with The Shield. He turned out to be the United States champion. He got a little run there. And now, when he's on his own, he's basically being himself at this point, you know? He comes out with the wife beater on, the pair of jeans. He doesn't even look like a professional wrestler. But that's kind of the character that he's portraying, and there's probably a little bit of, you know, his real-life persona in there as well.
Yeah, he reminds everyone of somebody different. I mean, I hear comparisons to Roddy Piper and Randy Savage, and I can't remember the last wrestler that drew comparisons to, like, 80s guys and legends like that. He's got a little piece of everybody, and I think at the end of the day, he is the first Dean Ambrose. I mean, he isn't necessarily any of these people, but he certainly watched all these people, and it's created the guy that you see that is Dean Ambrose.
Will you agree with me, though, that with this kind of gimmick that he's working right now, that there's actually a chance that he may never become WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
Well, the Roddy Piper comparison, how many titles did Roddy Piper have? He had one Intercontinental title run that lasted a couple of months.
But still one of the greatest of all time, though.
Yeah, but that said, I think you can modify the character. And certainly when Randy Savage did that character where he was unhinged and all of that, he was still able to win titles and be a player on that stage. It's just all in how you present that. So, we'll see how it works out. But I think Dean Ambrose, this is a big time for Dean Ambrose. And as far as Roman Reigns goes, for Roman Reigns, the biggest moment of his career is going to be that next promo that he cuts when he is healthy and back in the WWE.
That's, if there was ever a reason to kind of like stay focused on WWE programming, it's to see what happens and what becomes of Dean Ambrose. And, you know, the longer Roman Reigns stays out, it's just going to be like, okay, now we appreciate Ambrose more. And the things that he does well are the things that Reigns really struggles in. And Ambrose is arguably the better in-ring performer. He's clearly better on the microphone. So that kind of remains to be seen whether or not WWE still wants to go forward with their whole Roman Reigns main eventing WrestleMania, becoming the world champion, because he still has a long ways to go. I think Ambrose is a lot more polished in a lot more areas. So, you know, I tuned out on Raw this past week, but you know what? Next week I'm curious to what they do with Ambrose.
I think Roman Reigns, though, is still the guy. Like, they still think of him that way in the WWE. But that said, that first promo when he comes back, he needs to hit a home run.
No, definitely.
He has to. And I think we'll close with some good news that happened this week for Canadians specifically. We have yet another Canadian that is part of the fray in WWE, and also another former alumnus of a company I used to work for, The Score. Arda Ocal is now part of the WWE in some broadcasting capacity that remains to be seen. And, he's a guy who really loves wrestling, really knows a lot about it. And I think fans in Canada are well aware of that from his work on The Score. So good for him as he now embarks on being Kyle Edwards.
Yeah, congratulations to him. I've always been a huge fan of his. He's very knowledgeable in the industry, and of course, working Aftermath with Renee Paquette, who's also Renee Young on WWE. They're getting
you broke kayfabe there, Walder. Renee Paquette, who is that?
Yeah, well, to those of you who are unaware, Renee Paquette is in fact Renee Young, the beautiful blonde bombshell who does all the microphone work now on the pre-shows for on YouTube for all the pay-per-views, and then does some backstage stuff on Raw. So, they used to do the show Aftermath on The Score, a very popular show with former referee Jimmy Corderas.
Former guest on this show.
Exactly. So, I don't know exactly what Kyle Edwards will be doing on WWE. Maybe he'll be doing some backstage stuff, promoting live events. Maybe he'll be doing some NXT work, but very talented, good hire by WWE.
And lastly, keeping with this announcing theme, The TNAers, they're apparently going to hire Josh Matthews to do what? I don't know, because they might not have a television program, but Josh Matthews apparently he's been talking with TNA.
I smell a three-man announce team with TNA and Taz. Ugh.
Oh, my Lord. I don't know. Apparently, what the word on the street is if they get a TV deal, which is a big if.
It's a long story.
But if they do, that's when we'll see Josh Matthews, when they launch their new television. Apparently, the latest rumor seems to be WGN is looking to bring on TNA Wrestling. WGN is famous for being the Chicago superstation, where you'd get like your Cubs and your White Sox and basically, the CM Punk channel is what they were. They had all your Chicago sports needs, but now they're looking to back away from that whole model and look to be more of a national network, and apparently TNA Wrestling is part of that vision, which I have a hard time believing, but that's what people are saying.
Well, if Josh Matthews helps, you know, all the power to them. But he's a good announcer. He's not great, but you know what? I think that just it hurts TNA because you're always going to think of them as second fiddle if they keep hiring all of these guys that WWE releases.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting because WWE, I mean, announcing wise, they have brought in a number of new faces and. And, you know, on that side, like, that's one of the, I know, one last thing, and then I promise we're done. We've ended up, Walder wanted to be a little shorter today, and I'm screwing him over, so I apologize.
Damn it, James.
but the announce team, it has been a source of much angst for many people. But it seems, at least in the future, it's bright, because, you know, at some point, Michael Cole, JBL, and King are going to go away. I don't know when that will be, but the people that they're bringing in, I like, and I think can step in and do good jobs. But we still have King, JBL, and Michael Cole.
I really like Todd Phillips. I think he could be like the next Michael Cole on the announce team. He's still a ways away. You know, put Renee Young on the announce team too. There's never been a woman on there, but she knows her stuff, and I think that would be a good addition. And I'm not nearly as low as a lot of people are about Alex Riley. I think he has a good look. He has a good voice. He's kind of a little more tolerable than Matt Stryker. I don't know what that would what that says about him, but I think he has some promise as well. So it may not look good now, people, but hang in there. The announce team will get better someday, just not today.
Yeah, when we're putting over bunnies more than the Intercontinental title match, I think we have a problem.
Exactly.
And I love the WWE bunny, and I'm saying that, so, you know, like...
Oh.
But Michael Cole acts like it's honestly like a cartoon show with this whole nonsense with the bunny. I mean, you get Michael Cole going like the bunny is like the greatest thing since John Cena, and you have JBL acting like Elmer Fudd.
Just no bunny talk. I can't get into the bunny right now.
Oh,
I can't take it, James. I need to keep my blood pressure low. Even though I'm only 26 years old, I gotta keep that level. And if we talk about the bunny, it's going to skyrocket.
You know what? That is one thing I took away from going to the wrestling show with you. We talked about getting into our personal lives a little bit. You are a high-strung dude.
I really am.
You are. You're very high-strung. Chris Walder, when we went to the ROH show, was very stressed about our whole parking situation. And I was wondering if it would cost us actually getting to the event on time. But we did make it on time. So
it was expensive all over the place. I couldn't believe some of these prices. And we didn't know where the building was.
You live in Toronto. Are you not aware that parking is expensive there?
I live in Scarborough, so I try to avoid going downtown at all possible unless I can take the subway. So when I do drive down there, I always make sure I look for the cheapest place available. But it was like over $10 everywhere. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
On a what was it, like a Friday or Saturday night?
Yes.
Which is supposed to be cheaper then. But see what you've done? Now you've upset me, James. Parking.
Are you still there, or did you cut out? You were so violently upset there.
No, well, it's actually because I'm heading downtown on Saturday, and I think I might have to drive down. So I'm bracing myself for the inevitable $15 parking fee that I'm going to have to pay. So,
all right, well, that's life in Toronto. You have chosen that for yourself, sir. I can't help you with that. I can't help make the WWE better, unfortunately, people. We'll have to take with what we get and hope that it gets better. That's all we can do at this point, right?
Yeah, hope, yeah. Hope is it's a very delicate thing at this point.
Yeah, I kind of envy CM Punk. He just said the hell with it and gave up. I'm kind of thinking that's not necessarily the dumbest thing in the world.
Save your money and get out when you can.
Exactly. That's the lesson, people. But AJ Lee, please stick around for my dream feud. Stephanie, AJ, WrestleMania 31. It needs to happen. Ronda Rousey, guest refereeing with the Young Bucks in the front row watching it all as they're going to debut the next night on Raw.
Yeah, right.
I just came up with that off the top of my head. I thought that would be great.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah, for me. Well, yeah? If I ran the WWE, that would be happening, let me tell you.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. And that would be outstanding. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, hold on to that pipe dream.
Yeah, I didn't say it was going to happen, Walter. I just said if I ran the WWE, that's what would happen.
You'll be really smart if it does happen.
Yeah. Well, we might get all four members of Mount Rushmore for 2015. That is one of my predictions.
Yeah.
We will see. But that said, we are out of time for this week, and thank you for Chris Walder for sticking an extra 10 minutes with me, because I kind of threw him under the bus a little bit, but once we mentioned commentary, I couldn't leave it at that.
It's all good, man. I forgive you.
So, you know, JBL, I don't know what he would say to end this out. He'd probably say, you know, $9.99, the damn bunny! Yeah, that's my JBL. I'm working on it.
But I would say personally, tune in on Thursday next week when I join James and Josh to talk wrestling on the video podcast.
That's right. Super Video Podcast, first three-way in Condo on the Moon history. You don't want to miss it, folks, because we'll just be sad if you do, really.
Very sad.
Yes, so join us next week, Thursday, Friday. We've got action for you in the video form and in this form, in the podcast form. So join us then, and oh, by the way, the Macho Man Challenge, it may still be alive.
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye.